You know, Karen, we were talking a little earlier about common sense and the role that some people would have it play, and some would wisely choose not to have it play in helping people who are dealing with suicidal thoughts, etc. And I'm just curious as to how prevalent something else that you mentioned in your book, Preventing Suicide, is, and what some of them are, and that has to do with some of the myths surrounding suicide.
Right, exactly. You know, and I think most of us have some of these myths. One of them might be, hey, if you're a Christian, just pray harder, and then this problem will go away. But I have to say, you were mentioning the Apostle Paul. So the Apostle Paul, when he talked to Timothy, basically he recommended wine for Timothy's stomach and not prayer alone. And I just think that that's an important piece to keep in mind, is just that sometimes you do combine the treatment of the day with prayer, even though he didn't mention prayer, but I'm assuming the Apostle Paul also recommended prayer and certainly prayed for Timothy, but at the same time recommended other interventions. And so I think it's just important to keep that in mind. I think too that another myth might be that sometimes people who are suicidal are just trying to get attention. And for a very small minority, that could be the case. But I think for the most part, people who are suicidal are just experiencing great psychological pain. And they're trying to figure out what to do with that and how to make it better and how to escape from it. They might think about death, not because they want to die necessarily, but because they're trying to figure out what to do with this intense pain. So therefore, I don't think, and sometimes this is another myth, but I don't think that people who kill themselves are just being selfish. I think, in fact, generally speaking, they suicidal people become convinced that their loved ones are going to be better off without them. Now, that's not true. That's very much not true, but somehow in the midst of their thinking, they become convinced about that. So I think that's a myth, that they're being selfish, but probably they're in fact trying, they're thinking about how their death might in fact be helpful to the people around them. Another myth might be that depressed people should just buck up and just do better, but the truth is that people who are thinking about suicidal are probably very depressed, and they need probably mental health treatment for that depression. And if they were able to do something about it, they probably would have at this point. So I think that is a myth, that people should just get themselves out of bed and get going. I think that probably in the midst of a pretty severe depression, the person needs some mental health help. I think those might be just a few of the myths. One other one, important one, might be that talking about suicide or asking someone if they're suicidal might plant the idea in their mind, and there's actually a good amount of research that suggests that that's not the case. That, in fact, bringing up the conversation for the suicidal person might be, in fact, what what feels the best to them. Because imagine if you were suicidal, imagine figuring out how to bring that up into a conversation. That might be very hard for a suicidal person to come up with how they were going to bring that topic up. So if you bring it up for them, and in fact, what they found is it doesn't plant the idea for them, but it actually can be a relief for them that they're able to talk about this incredibly painful thing that they're thinking about that they don't know what to do about.
So the risk for the potential caregiver is not bringing it up. The risk, right, actually is not bringing it up.
But you make such a great point. Yeah, you make such a great point. Absolutely.
Yeah, and so, you know, and back to something else that you shared with us for just a moment, in regards to, you know, the person who may be experiencing some depression, snapping out of it, bucking up. Do they even have the emotional and mental energy that's required to just snap back, just bounce back and snap out of it?
I mean, you're absolutely right. I think that myth comes from the fact that a lot of people don't really realize how debilitating depression really is. I mean, we know that from the World Health Organization that depression happens to be one of the most debilitating illnesses that's out there. And so if people really understood how debilitating depression was, I think that, they would, in fact, challenge that myth.
Wow. So one of the things that the potential pastoral caregiver needs to be aware of is that there are some myths. They need to be clear as to where their positions are with regards to that. But something else that you go on to talk about in your book, again, Preventing Suicide, is the importance of that pastoral caregiver developing a Christian theology about suicide.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, one of the things, Carl, I have to say that surprised me when I was doing research, when I started working around this issue with helping clergy with suicide prevention, was just that there's a whole spectrum of views, theological views, on suicide. And I suppose that's, maybe I shouldn't have been so surprised. But one of the spectrums is that there are some evangelical Christians who believe that suicide is not a sin primarily because of the mental health issue, and from their perspective, they believe that this diminishes moral responsibility. Some people will say that because in the early church, actually, there was a focus on escaping this world as quickly as possible, that in fact there was not much that was said against suicide in the early church. And in fact, if you go look at the six or so times that suicide is mentioned in the Bible, there's never any kind of negative judgment that follows the sort of narratives or the descriptions of what happened in those instances of the six instances of suicide in the Bible. So some people will argue that because of the Bible's silence on the issue or because of the early church's silence on the issue, that suicide is not a sin. But you will also find quite a number of Christians who believe suicide is a sin, stating that, in fact, the Bible silence doesn't imply it approves of suicide. Some Christians will also point to the sixth commandment, you know, thou shalt not murder, and saying it doesn't say thou shalt not murder your neighbor. It just says thou shalt not murder. And Augustine was the one who said, hey, it doesn't say thou shalt not murder your neighbor. Therefore, it includes not murdering yourself. So some Christians will argue with Augustine that based on the sixth commandment, it's a sin. Some people, and this was John Calvin, who argued from the perspective that life is sacred, life is inviolable, only God who gives us life can take away life. Calvin said, let us wait for the highest commander who sent us into this world to call us out of it. Others, like Bonhoeffer, talk about the fact that suicide is a sin because it demonstrates a lack of faith. He himself wrote on a little scrap of paper when he was imprisoned, he wrote, suicide, not out of a sense of guilt, but because I'm practically dead already, the closing of the book, sum total. But in his own despair, I just want to point out Bonhoeffer did not take his own life. So there are Christians who believe that suicide is a sin, and amongst those who believe it's a sin, some will say it's forgivable and some will say it's not. So actually the current Roman Catholic view is that suicide is a sin, but what they say is the Catholic Catechism says grave psychological disturbances or anguish or grave fear of hardship or suffering or torture can diminish the responsibility of the one committing suicide. So their perspective is that it's a sin, but this person has diminished responsibility, and therefore they do, in fact, now pray for people who have died by suicide. Other Christians will say, you know, murder is a sin like any other sin. It is not a special kind of sin that merits a different kind of judgment. So because it's a sin like other sins, it's forgivable like other sins. Some will also argue that because some people have argued that, and this is the classic Roman Catholic view, that suicide is a mortal sin because you can't repent of it. However, John Donne, who was a priest, an Anglican priest in the 17th century, said to presume that you can't repent because you weren't nearby to hear it is just ridiculous, basically, is what he says. So other Christians have said that suicide is a forgivable sin because all of us will die with unrepented of sins, right? That all of us, Lewis Smedes, who was an apologist, said all of us commit sins that we're too spiritually cloddish to recognize for the sins that they are. So all of us die with unrepented of sins. You know, lastly, the view would be that some Christians hold that suicide is an unforgivable sin, and this would probably be more in a, not a Reformed perspective, but more of a Wesleyan perspective, that that a person who dies with unconfessed sin actually could result in eternal damnation. I guess the one thing that has intrigued me as I've thought about these issues is just that there's a variety of Christian views. The one thing I just want to emphasize, though, is that regardless of what your theological perspective is on sin, I think it's important to also say that there seems to be something inside all of us humans that can't condone suicide. That suicide is a violation of something inside of us, and whether you say it's a violation of God's moral code or a violation of something else, I just want to say that even though, despite where your theology leads you, I think it's also fair to say that it's an important thing also just to maintain moral objections to suicide.
Ladies and gentlemen, more from our guest, yours and mine, Dr. Karen Mason. When we come back, we'll be taking a look at some of the warning signs that a person may be thinking about suicide. We'll take a look at some practical steps that those who are providing pastoral care can offer for those who might be thinking about suicide so that we can see how we may be able to help prevent it. We'll be right back.